This is Jay Sekulow. Vice President Harris picks a fight with her own party on COVID relief.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
We ran as Democrats, but we are Americans, and we will lead as Americans. The reason I am here in West Virginia talking with you is because everybody matters, whether you voted for us or not.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I saw it. I couldn't believe it. No one called me. We're going to try to find a bipartisan pathway for it. I think we need to, but we need to work together. That's not a way of working together, what was done.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everybody. What you just heard in that opening that we put together was not a Republican and a Democrat dueling it out over COVID relief. It was Vice President Harris and Democrat Joe Manchin dueling it out over COVID relief. And as you heard, which obviously Joe Manchin's a significant vote, he said he saw the interview and I can't believe it. So the Vice President of the United States is in West Virginia going after a Democratic senator from West Virginia on an issue that should have bipartisan support called COVID relief. And you have to ask yourself, what are the politics of this one when the American people need the help? And, Fan, before we went on the air, I asked you what was going on here. What is going on here?
Well, it's terrible politics, Jay. I would say it's political incompetence, if you ask me, because, look, Joe Manchin is someone that from the very beginning has said that he wants a COVID package, but yet he's talking reasonably about it, Jay. He wants the dollars that were already passed in COVID stimulus to actually reach the people that were needed. So when they pass another package, it's the people that get the help that's needed. But let me focus in really quickly, Jay, on the political calculation here, because by pushing away one of the 50 votes that they need in the United States Senate, it's sending the message that they're going to have Republican votes. And I will tell you, Jay, in a vacuum, Republican voters, senators are willing to pass a COVID stimulus package. But here's what's happening in the United States House of Representatives this week, Jay. They're beginning a budget reconciliation process to move COVID stimulus with only 51 votes. So look, the only way to look at this, Jay, is they don't want Republican votes. They're using a strategy that doesn't plan to get Republican votes, and yet they're chasing away one of the Democrat votes that we need. Jay, the only thing I can call that, political incompetence.
You know, Andy, I'm thinking about, and of course, and that's as the Senate's preparing for an impeachment trial, and instead of focusing on COVID relief, what the American people need, they're focusing on an impeachment trial on a person that's not president anymore.
Yeah, well, we've commented on this several times, Jay. I mean, you've got the president of the United States who's being impeached by the House, who's no longer the president of the United States. The Senate does not have jurisdiction, but they're revving up for a fight in the Senate. There's going to be a trial. The House managers are coming over, and they're working overtime to do the impossible, and that is to impeach a president who has left office instead of focusing on COVID relief and then fighting with their own party with Kamala Harris going to West Virginia without even Joe Manchin knowing it and disparaging his state in his presence, telling people that they're suffering, that they're hungry, that they're scavengers. What a thing to say about the people in West Virginia.
Yeah, but so the irony of all this is everybody agrees in Washington that we need to get the next COVID relief package through. Logan is joining us today, by the way. And everybody agrees, and you've heard this on your radio broadcast, COVID relief is necessary, economic relief is necessary, and they're fighting with each other, not Republican-Democrat. This shows you the dysfunction that has already begun 10 days into this.
And fighting through the media, of course, which is what always it seems to be. You know, you can't just you take this, they're right down the street from each other.
He said he didn't make a phone call. He didn't call.
Yeah, you're right. Joe Manchin on the same party. I mean, on the line. Of all of them, Joe Manchin's been the one they always did talk about. It's like, you know, he's like a Democrat light. You know, I don't know. But phone lines are open. We want your thoughts. You heard my rant about media last Friday, and I feel the same way. This is weaponizing media still, because you can take over the airwaves in certain areas and bypass your local representatives who really know what's going on in your own home state, especially right now when those areas really could use the relief. But phone lines are open.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Let me tell you something else we're going to do. We've got a lot of you watching, and we want you to stay engaged. So we're not going to take a TV audience watching on Facebook, social media, YouTube. We're staying live. We're not going to take a break on our radio networks. Of course, we will be taking a break. So those of you that are watching right now, we're going to stay live with you, and we'll take calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. We'll talk about what the individual relief package is going to be.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Okay, we know what you want to know. You want to know, when are the checks going to come so we get some economic relief?
And we know that's why you look at our social media numbers when you do a broadcast like this. The numbers double, triple, because bipartisan, you know, people want to know when their relief is going to be coming in. We all know that there was the $2,000 that turned into $600 that now is back potentially on the table. And you know, regardless of how you feel about the election, I think a lot of people want to know what the genuine update is.
I think this is right, and we're getting into all this. And Than, I want to get the most current numbers in the current situation. But Andy's in our studio in Atlanta right now. And Andy, I know that you, when you went out to dinner, and we've gone out to dinner from time to time, these restaurants are still empty. And I'm sure it's the same in Atlanta, too. They're a third of the capacity of where they were. These people, there are GoFundMe pages for, I know, restaurants in Atlanta that have been around for 100 years. To try to stay in business. So people are trying to say, hey, we need PP, you know, relief. We need the payroll protection plan relief, PPP. We need the individual relief to those that are still struggling with employment. And you're in a major city. We're in a major city. And it's for real.
Oh, yes, Jay. As you mentioned, I'm not going to mention the name of the restaurant, but it's in business, been in business in Atlanta for 100 years. Continuously in business, classic Southern fare, classic Southern cuisine, and yet they're dying. They're literally dying. They're asking on GoFundMe for people to come in. People did come up with $100,000 to tide them over, and they're doing takeout, and they're doing things like that. But if you go to delis and restaurants in Atlanta, it's empty, and people are suffering. All the masked people walking around in supermarkets and grocery stores. COVID relief is something that is desperately needed.
Yeah.
I mean, the economy is seriously teetering, and yet we're fighting over things that we shouldn't fight over, and we're doing things, as Than said, why are you going one direction when the Republicans are holding their hands out to you to try to come up with a united front and get some COVID relief? Kamala Harris needs to talk to Joe Biden. They need to talk to each other, and together they need to talk to Senators Sinema and Manchin and get on the same page.
Well, I mean, talk would be good, because what Logan said's right. They're using basically the media as a weapon against their own people.
Yeah, it's an easy, you know, it's like subtweeting somebody. You talk about someone over here, so then they come and talk to you over here. No direct communication. It's very 2021, if you will, where people don't directly communicate. And the problem is, when you do have access, you're the vice president. Sure, you have access to news media. If anyone calls your local affiliate and says, we have the vice president, would like to say something to your people, of course they're going to say, yes, of course, the airwaves are yours. That's just how it works. And not necessarily, that's how it should be. But when there's these situations where the American people's livelihood is played, you know, as a piece in a game of chess to circumvent certain politicians because you may not agree with them. Like I said, in the same party, but we do know that Joe Manchin has had significant, you know, feelings towards certain more liberal-leaning Democrats. So what's the easy way to get around it? Go directly to his people. It's something she has the access to. And again, I believe she should have the access to. This is not necessarily the best way to do it because just like in your own home state, what are you more likely to watch? And this is just the 100% truth. Are you going to more watch, likely to watch a presidential or vice presidential address to your state or even your own state senators, your own congressman, your governor? I would bet half the people don't even know who those people are.
Yeah.
So, of course, this is a very easy way to target a specific group of people in a specific geographical location and say, here's the message you need from the people you trust, not your local representatives, which I believe there needs to be some more respect for local, especially if you go into these highly contested presidential elections where the vote's split in half.
Yep.
I think, you know, now the elections on local level need to be really, you really need to dive in more deeply. If you're someone who just votes in the presidential, start looking at what's going on. They actually are people that control your neighborhoods.
Okay, so Than, what, where are we with the plan, and what is the plan right now?
Well, there are competing plans out there. President Biden has a plan out there that cost about $1.9 trillion, and there's a lot in there, Jay, but the thing, the centerpiece would be the direct payments to the American people, and he's proposing a $1,400 payment to every adult, starting to phase out around $75,000 of income. The proposal that's put forward by these 10 senators who are going down to the White House today, Jay, it's very similar in many regards. It's just a little bit smaller. It costs about $600 billion, and the initial payment would only be $1,000 and would start to phase out a little bit sooner. But here's really the thought process behind that, Jay. If they could pass a smaller bill like that with 75 or 80 or 85 votes in the United States Senate, and then there was a need for additional stimulus after that, it would be very easy to accomplish because you would have a coalition of 80 senators ready to go along. If they're going to push through something with only Democrat votes, and by the way, if it's going to have, you know, $500 million for state and local funding, and then the American people come back and say, we're still suffering, we're still not all the way open, we need another payment, where are you going to go for votes then, Jay? That's sort of the lay of the land here.
I think right now what has to happen is they've got to get a bill through. It's got to be reasonable, and the American people need relief. I mean, it's that reality. But what we're, this inter-party fighting is unreal. So let me play for you Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris. I'll be you know, polite. Vice President Harris, this is what she said in West Virginia, aimed at Joe Manchin, the senator, Democrat from West Virginia.
We ran as Democrats, but we are Americans, and we will lead as Americans. The reason I am here in West Virginia talking with you is because everybody matters, whether you voted for us or not.
Okay, so that's what she said. Joe Manchin happened to hear it. Here's what he said.
I saw it. I couldn't believe it. No one called me. We're going to try to find a bipartisan pathway forward. I think we need to, but we need to work together. That's not a way of working together, what was done.
A bipartisan pathway, which is great. They're the same party. I mean, Andy, they're both Democrats.
Are they? I wonder, Jay. I'm beginning to wonder about Joe Manchin because he's such a conservative. He's such a moderate in some things that, you know, you would think that he is a Democrat, but sometimes, you know, and many times he comes across as a reasonable guy, but intra-party disputes among the vice president and the senior senator from West Virginia should not be happening at this time.
I just don't understand what Vice President Harris is trying to do when she is going after, and it's also supposedly, Than, I guess, Senator Sinema too as well?
Yeah, doing media in Arizona. And look, let me just give a peek behind the curtain here. When you played that sound from Joe Manchin, and one of the things he said was, no one called me. Jay, when a president or a vice president goes into a state or a locality and does press in that state, and some of the federal officials are from the same party, it is just manner of courtesy and also political expediency to reach out to that elected official and say, look, I'm going to come, and I want us to be on the same page. So what are you thinking? How do you think is the best way to get help to the people of your state? I want to be on the same page as you. Let's talk. Let's get on the same page. The fact that that did not happen, Jay, I think puts in great jeopardy the vote of Joe Manchin. And again, I mean, I know I sound like a broken record here, but if you don't get the vote of Joe Manchin, if you don't get the vote of Kyrsten Sinema, that means you only have 48 votes from your party. You must get Republican votes to pass something through. And while they're doing that, in the House of Representatives, they're using a parliamentary tool that says, we don't need any Republican votes. So, Jay, I'm not sure where they come up with a vote using that strategy.
But here's the problem, Logan. The people that are suffering here are the American people that elected these people into office to get results. Now, you may have disagreed with the way the election came out, but here you got the Vice President of the United States attacking her own party because they don't like what the members of her own party are saying. They're not on the same page, in other words. Which means their legislative affairs people in the White House aren't getting it done. So it begs the next question here, and that is this. The only people suffering are not those senators and congressmen in Washington, D.C. It's the American people. And they're using the media as a whipsaw, Logan, to kind of get this all fired up.
Yeah, do we have time for this clip from Jen Psaki? Can we play that? All right, so this is interesting. So it was brought up in the press briefing the other day. So let's take a listen so you have an idea of what's coming out, what kind of spin's coming out of the White House.
Yesterday we saw Vice President Harris do local media interviews in the states of West Virginia and Arizona. You know, obviously there's been a lot of focus on your efforts to get Republicans on board. Are you concerned that budget reconciliation even, you know, may not be realistic or that you may lose some Democrats? Is that why Vice President Harris was making those calls to shore up Democratic support?
Vice President Harris was making those calls because we want to make the case to the American people across the country. And obviously, she's not traveling to those states and holding big events or even events with, you know, not big crowds, but some crowd. And so this was a way to do exactly that.
Very clear answer.
What does that even mean?
You know, well, they're not doing big events. They're not even doing small events. There's not events with crowds. There's not events with no crowds. There's not events at all.
Let's attack Joe Manchin and see if we can embarrass him into embracing something Fannie doesn't want to do.
Yeah, it was a complete dodge of that question. I mean, I don't even think she addressed it. That was when you're trying to answer a question and without having to answer it, you come up with a bunch of, well, she knows she's not doing events. The big events in arenas, small events, local theater. She's not doing, it's a little like, she's not making a presentation to school children. She's not doing anything. So, she's just going on the news, reaching as many people as she can through social media and through television and broadcasting, and circumventing the people who are actually on the ground.
Yeah, and those are her party people that are on the ground, the same party fan.
She said the question was, are you trying to shore up Democratic support? Well, if that was the goal from that call, it failed.
Big fail.
I'd say it failed.
Hey, let's take phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call. We want to know your thoughts. 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Hey, welcome back to the program, everyone. We're talking about what is happening with this stimulus package and the fact that we've got dueling within the Democratic Party. They're fighting with each other. The Vice President Harris has gone after Joe Manchin, the Democratic senator from West Virginia, and also Kristen Sinema, the Democratic senator from Arizona. Why? Because they're looking at the package a little bit differently than the other. But I think the way to start this segment of the broadcast out is to let you know, because we want to know what you think about all this, by the way. Our phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We don't want to just talk about the issues here. We want to give you some answers. So we need to look at kind of the dueling packages. Logan, you want to go through that? And I want to go through the process of what's ahead.
Yeah, we can go through the Biden plan, just hit some of the bullet points. We're calling it the American Rescue Plan, expected to cost $1.9 trillion. And again, this includes a $1,400 direct stimulus check, which would supplement the $600 checks that already passed late last year. Individual earnings less than $75,000 a year will receive the full check. Married couples jointly filing earnings less than $150,000 also do the full amount as well. The payments will phase out entirely at $87,000 for single filers without children and $174,000 for those married with joint filing. And the new payments would go to adult dependents that were left out of the earlier rounds, like some children over the age of 17. It would also include households with different immigration status, including the first round of $1,200 checks left out of spouses of undocumented immigrants who do not have a Social Security number. Through a bunch of different things as well. Additional $160 billion for national vaccine programs.
Okay.
$20 billion for distribution. We could go on and on. You know, $170 billion for K-12 schools.
Okay.
It goes on and on and on all right. Those things. But that's kind of the what you're expected to get if this passes.
Okay.
The individual person.
Okay. So let me go. First of all, before we go to process, if Logan read it right, Than, there's money.
I've been known to read things wrong.
No, so I'm assuming you're reading it right.
Just to make sure.
We're sending taxpayer dollars to undocumented aliens. Is that what it's saying?
That's correct, Jay. And I think that's probably so
I want the American people to understand this. Your taxpayer dollars, because you're the ones paying for this, are going to people that are not legally in the United States. Go ahead, Than, finish it up.
That's just the start of it, too. I mean, there's another $350 billion in here that are essentially state bailouts. And look, I mean, I think you said it right, Jay. I mean, the American people are hurting, and they need direct assistance. And quite frankly, that's where Joe Manchin is on this. He says, I don't have any problem with that first part, even if it's $1,400, even if it's a lot up front, maybe more than some Republicans are comfortable with. I'm okay with that. I just don't want to spend money that we don't have, because we might need to come back and spend more on behalf of the American people. So that's really the main difference between these two approaches. Do we want to spend tens and hundreds of billions of dollars on things either unrelated to COVID, or, Jay, as you mentioned, spend them on people who aren't Americans?
Yeah, so that, again, was the Biden's plan, which is the American Rescue Plan.
Yeah, well,
and then there's the
American
GOP plan.
American and illegal immigrant rescue plan.
Well, then there's also the GOP plan. I have a question it's honest here. At the end of the day, you're arguing over $400? So it's $1,400 check versus $1,000 check?
No, more than that. A lot more money than that.
This is the problem when people see that, though, as the headline.
Yeah.
Republicans want to give you $1,000. Democrats want to give you $1,400. At some point, are you playing politics with $400?
Well, I think people are playing politics, but Logan, I would answer your question in this way. I don't think there's any way of saying that this is the end of the line. I mean, we don't know exactly when the end of help from the federal government is needed. And in order to come back to the well to maybe pass an additional check, what do you need? You need 75 or 80 senators in the United States Senate who are in this together and are willing to help the Biden administration get it done. If you force it through on a partisan basis, yes, you might get $400 more now, but Logan, it basically leaves you with no where to go the next time you need to go back and provide more assistance.
I guess so. I think that, you know, there's a good comment related to this from YouTube. Steven on YouTube, he asked just a simple question. He said, the battle over a COVID bill, is it actually about COVID relief, or is this a fight for all of the add-on millions and trillions of dollars in pork funding that he says that the Democrats want? But honestly, it can go either way with this. No, they're always packed.
Yeah, but there's $350 billion of relief to the states for their own issues, includes California and others. But it's amazing to me. They're calling it the American Rescue Plan, Andy, while their funding is going to include people that are undocumented, which means they're not legally in the United States. And that's part of this.
Jay, I find that very distasteful and wrong. You have persons, and now, you know, it's not politically correct to call people in illegal aliens. You have to call them undocumented persons or something like that. The reality is these people are in the continental United States or in Hawaii and Alaska within the borders of the United States, contrary to the law of the United States. They shouldn't be here. They can, my immigrant grandparents and yours came in legally. They came in through quota systems. They came in through other means during the time of immigration, and immigration that has continued throughout the 20th century. Why are we spending $350 million or whatever that figure is on COVID relief for people who are not citizens of the United States?
The $350 billion is actually doesn't go to people. That goes to states. That doesn't go to people. I understand. Look. There is economic relief is desperately needed here, and our immigration system is a mess. And I, as you know, I've been one that has called for immigration reform. I mean significant immigration reform, including pathway to citizenship, because you're not going to be shipping, they say 12 million, 18 million. That was 10 years ago. It's probably 40 million. You're not shipping 40 million people out of the United States.
And they're also out of work, too.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd like to get them to work, get them paying taxes. Okay, and then if they need the relief like everybody else. But the problem with this whole thing is, and I think it is what Chuck Schumer himself has said. This is the problem. And I told you on this broadcast, we're going to fight these issues out. This is the problem. Listen to number 20.
We hope that we can move forward in a bipartisan way with our Republican colleagues cooperating, but we need big, bold action. And if we can't move forward with them, we'll have to do it on our own. Getting the job done in a big, bold way is the number one priority.
So, yeah, Logan, so go and send your vice president to attack your Democrats.
Yeah. Again, this is just...
I mean, come on.
And some of it is, this is the
way...
It's bold, but it's also the way they're used to doing media. You got to assume that, too. I mean, the fact that they have the access where if this was a Republican vice president, I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to get on every news source and every late-night talk show and every social media, owned property. It's just not going to happen. So you do use the tools that you have, and you got to give it to them for that. I mean, I disagree with the method. I disagree with the concept of not involving with people on the local level. However, she was able to get it done. We're talking about it today. That should say something.
So, Than, we get back from the break. I want to walk people through what they're going to realistically look at getting. I think that's important for the American people to understand, and the time frame of how this actually happens. I think that's important.
Yeah, and it depends.
Go ahead.
And it's going to depend on how much they're willing to work together. I'll just put this out there as a teaser, Jay. If the Biden administration were to say, okay, we'll use that $350 billion, and instead of giving it to the states, we'll plus up your plan to include $400 more for every American.
Great.
Jay, that would pass almost unanimously in the United States Senate.
That's why we do this broadcast. We're getting behind the politics to show you what the real issue is going on there. Because I'm with Than. If you're going to take that $350 billion, you know what I'd rather do? Give it to the people where they're making $87,000 a year or less, or $167,000 as a family or less. That would be a good utilization of money. But throwing it into these state coffers, I mean, I don't even have to... The whole rollout with the states on the COVID relief, I'm talking about the vaccines, has been enough to say, do we really want to do that? All right, support the work of the ACLJ. You do that at aclj.org. We'll be back in 1 minute with more on this topic and some other news.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so we're talking about this issue of COVID relief and or lack of relief. And this is, we're talking about getting the economic relief through the stimulus package. It's because of COVID that we're having to do this. And as the pandemic still unravels and still has its impact, and we know there's a lot of pain and a lot of loss all across the country. This is, January is a terrible month for fatalities. It's a terrible situation, and people need relief. The problem is the fighting in Washington is out of control. Out of control to the point, we got to get this through. I know we're getting the calls. We know you need it. We know people need it. We want to explain to you what's likely. They're fighting over $350 billion. That the Democrats want to go to the states. So, Than, what would that do for the states exactly?
In most cases, Jay, it would bail them out for having budgets that were upside down leading into this. States like California, states like New York, states like my home state of Illinois, Jay, it's not COVID specific. Right. It's dollars to bail them out. And the argument you're going to hear from the Democrats, just to be fair-minded here, is that it's been the COVID pandemic that has caused their budgets to suffer. But look, I would challenge anyone who believes that argument to go back and look at the state budgets of the three states that I mentioned from 2018, 2017, 2016. These are state budgets that were already upside down. And by the way, I'll say this again. If we spend $350 billion for that purpose, guess where that $350 billion can't be spent? In direct payments to the people who are suffering because of the pandemic that's with us right now. That's just the truth, Jay.
I just, for the life of me, don't understand why. Because the states can bail themselves out here. Their problems predate COVID. Let's be realistic here. And you're talking about $350 billion that the American people could get as a direct benefit? I would say that would be a better use of funds, a lot better use of funds. But that's not, evidently, that's not the plan. So we need to look at a time frame of when this is going to go and how it's going to work, and we're going to talk about that in a moment coming back from the break. But I want to take a phone call.
Let's take a quick phone call before the break. Let's go to Juana on line two in Texas.
Hi, Juana.
You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I've been struggling about all these stimulus checks because I was thinking we are retired.
Right.
And the Lord bless us. We have the ways to continue living and all that. And why are they sending those checks to us? We there's a lot of us that are retired out there. And I believe that we don't need a stimulus check. But there's families there that they really, both parents are not working and the kids need it. They need it. So
this is,
I don't know. I don't understand it.
No, you're bringing up a point that has been a concern to everybody. And that is, Andy, that the broad categories of relief that are being granted here need to be tailored to people that actually really need this. And there are people that really need this relief. And there's businesses that need those loans again, all of those kind of things that need to happen. And the way the plans are, it's just kind of a giveaway without any real thought as to who gets the relief and where it's needed.
Jay, that's right. And I mean, I sympathize and understand the caller particularly. This is not a tailored program. This is not a program that is getting the money to the individual human beings who are standing behind the counters at delicatessens and grocery stores, who are packing groceries, who are at cashier stations, who are at pharmacies trying to work behind the counter and doing that. This is just throwing money at states who, as you have pointed out correctly, have for decades mismanaged their economic systems and who shouldn't be getting bailouts like California and so forth. Instead, we should be focusing on the individual human being and the plight of those particular persons, as you have pointed out and as the caller really correctly says, and I sympathize with her entirely.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment. Before then, though, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are open right now. We'd love to have you on the air. Also, check out all of our work at ACLJ.org, constantly posting brand new stuff there each and every day. Check out our kids' channel, Bald Beagle. Also, check out the Logan Sekulow Reprogram show I do. Find it on YouTube. Subscribe to Logan Sekulow channel. Just search my name, find it there. We'll be back with more on Jay Sekulow Live.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. Everyone, we're talking about the fight in Congress over getting stimulus aid to you, the American people. Before we go back to that, though, I want to let you know that our office, our European Center for Law and Justice, working with our Washington, D.C. office and other offices, have filed in the United Nations various reports on multiple countries, including Nigeria, Sierra Leone, Pakistan as well. In Pakistan, hundreds of families, Christian families, were forced to flee over a Facebook post as a pastor was arrested. This is happening today. Christians in India being forced to flee for refusing to renounce their faith. We've had those cases. We've had individuals in India that we've had to get out. We have filed today, and if you're watching on our television broadcasts, we filed today a series of documents, universal periodic reports with the Human Rights Council, because even though I think that the Human Rights Council is doesn't do what it's supposed to do on 100 different levels, we have to engage these international bodies on behalf of people that cannot speak for themselves. We'll get back to the situation with the relief package in a moment. But then I think it's important for people to understand the significance of going to these various international bodies to represent people that cannot represent themselves.
Jay, this is some of our most important work all around the world. I mean, it's one of the main reasons that we pursued consultative status at the United Nations, was to be able to speak for the persecuted when they're being persecuted, when nobody else really can speak for them, Jay. So the filing that we made today in Nigeria, the list of atrocities and the tens of thousands of Christians who are being slaughtered by genocidal acts, we brought light to that situation today. And you're right, this is something that we regularly do through these universal periodic reviews. The five that you mentioned were just filed, Jay. But look, over the course of the next few years, as it cycles through, we will file a report on every single country in the world as recognized by the United Nations, highlighting the various human rights that happens inside their borders.
Everybody just heard what Dan said. In the next 5 years, every single country in the world, we will be filing reports on. Now, in tomorrow's broadcast, in the first half hour, I'm going to go through some of these because I think it's important to see. Is Rick Rennell on with us tomorrow? I think it'd be good because he obviously, in his work on these international issues, knows this very well. We're going to go back to, but anyways, here it is. So your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference, and this is an example of what we do at the American Center for Law and Justice. We've got a tug of war going on in Washington, D.C. right now while people really need assistance. And what I want to do is offer some hope here, because despite the media wars, as Logan's been talking about, people need relief. How do we get there, and what is the realistic time frame? 10 Republicans are going down to meet with President Biden today.
Right. And I actually think, Jay, that is cause for hope. Here's where I would start with that. The votes to pass COVID relief in the United States House and in the United States Senate, Jay, they are there. And very often, on a large number of cases, you cannot say that. There are problems inside one caucus or the other, and you can't get to the 60 votes you need in the United States Senate. Jay, that is conclusively not the case for COVID stimulus relief. And the meeting that you mentioned that's going to take place at the White House is proof of that. Obviously, the Democrats control 50 seats in the United States Senate. There are 10 Republican senators going down to the White House with the message that says we are ready to pass COVID stimulus relief. And Jay, it's not just words. They've actually put out a proposal that says we think this is what looks correct. However, we want to talk with you. And if we can reach an agreement, we will give you the 10 votes you need to clear the filibuster in the United States Senate. So I think that's where you have to start with hope. And just very briefly to your question about timing, working in that kind of bipartisan fashion is also the quickest way to get it done. Because if you can't do it that way, Jay, you have to go through a reconciliation process, which involves passing a budget first. Plain and simple, it would take longer.
All right, let me ask one last question on that, because next week's supposed to be impeachment trial week. So what can the Senate do when the impeachment trial is going on?
Nothing. I mean, honestly, unless they come to some agreement, which I don't see happening, nope. Once they get to impeachment, COVID is going to be put on the back burner if it's not done. That's the truth.
So there you go. I mean, that's what the American people are facing. Now, here's what the fight's really about. It's not the difference of $300 or $400. It's the difference of about $400 billion or so, as it relates specifically to bailing out the states. Take a listen to this. A question and answer from a reporter to Chuck Schumer, the majority leader.
A $600 billion offer from the Republicans that they say is the Washington Post says is a bipartisan path forward. Is that something you can take?
I mean, it doesn't have any state and local money in it. Look at that. Just that's one
thing. Sounds like a no.
Right. Okay. They should negotiate with us, not give us a take it or leave it offer. We would like to negotiate with them, but there are lots of things in the president's plan that are not in their plan.
Okay, and Andy, one of those is the $350 billion for relief for the states that were already in trouble before COVID hit the shores of the United States.
Yeah, which makes no sense whatsoever. Why should we be bailing out states who had troubles in their budgets and who were acting recklessly and not acting in an economically prudent fashion before? Why should we do this for Illinois and for California and New York and other jurisdictions that should have been taking care of themselves? That money should go to the individuals on the streets, working in their homes, working in factories, working in grocery stores and in pharmacies and in restaurants all over. They're the ones who should be getting the relief and not states who have acted imprudently and economically recklessly in the past.
Let's go to the phone. Let's go to Valerie in Washington on line 5. Valerie, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was wondering, I haven't received the last stimulus package, $600. Is there any way, any place I can call to see what's happening?
Yes, as far as I know, you should have already received that. I know a lot of people who already have, and there's been situations, though, that have come up where people for some reason didn't get processed right. On the IRS website, irs.gov, there's a button at the top of the website for people who think they may have missed their check or their stimulus. Very clearly marked. You'll probably put in some basic information, and it'll tell you what the current status is of your initial $600.
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of questions initially then when the package first came together. We did days and days and days helping people through that. But right now, the best place, as Logan said, is to go to the IRS website and hit that.
Yeah, they've started to figure it out a little. They take some time, though.
All right.
Yeah, and I actually think the rollout of both rounds of that stimulus was actually pretty well done. Yep. But you're right. If you do think you're overmissed, Logan's correct. Buttons at the top of the IRS website. And by the way, if you were overlooked, they are reissuing those. So it's not like it's just gone. I would definitely encourage them to fill out that information and check on their status.
Very important what Dan just said. It's not like the PPP money, the payroll protection plan money for the businesses. That, you know, they reached a max on that and that was it. This is money that you're entitled to under the law. If you didn't get it for an administrative reason, which is what it is, then they will reissue the check to the appropriate account so that you get it. Now, is there PPP protection in these bills for businesses?
there is Paycheck Protection Program money in the Republican offer. There is not new money inside the Biden administration package. So, again, that's one of the things that's going to have to be worked out. I think it is too, Jay, but I think that needs to be one of the conversations tonight, because I will tell you, there is common ground to find here if they want to talk to each other. We'll find out tonight if they want to talk to each other.
I mean, look, the small businesses in this country are the backbone of America. That's how people make a living. That's how people feed their families. And there's a fundamental and this is what concerns me here. Why would the Democrats not include a plan for PPP protection, payroll plan protection, to protect payrolls for businesses so they get loans that if they keep people employed, they're discharged? The idea is you keep your people on payroll.
Keep your businesses open.
Right, which is very difficult for a lot of small business. Tens of thousands have closed up. Why in the world would the Democrats not have that in there? And here's the reason I think. I think it's because they'd rather have a direct, and by the way, the Republican plan has both, payroll protection in it and direct payments. But I think the Democrats want, Andy, a direct payment, so everything comes from the government, and the small businesses, they don't really care so much about.
Well, isn't that the standard practice of the Democratic Party, Jay? I mean, the whole idea of the party is for government handouts to individual people and failing to recognize what you said, and that is that businesses, small businesses, are the backbone of America. We are a nation of small businesses, really. But the Democrats give you the money directly so that you can be beholden to the government and say, yes, I got my check from the government. But what about the small business who employs 5 and 8 and 10 and 20 people? What about them? You're forgetting them. You're making the individual beholden to the government, and you're not really supporting and propping up the small business.
Is there nothing, I'm not sure we haven't overlooked something, is there anything in the Democratic plan that protects small businesses?
Well, there's additional federal unemployment insurance protection. So I don't believe, Jay, there is new money for paycheck protection. I can confirm that for sure, but it's definitely not one of the things they're highlighting.
Yeah, let's check that out, because I think that is one of the, I mean, the Republicans going down there. How about instead of $350 billion to these state governments that are already out of whack, get some of that money to businesses so they can keep people employed?
Well, maybe why you see some of the states that were more liberal leaning starting to reopen, say we have to reopen, because you also are giving people no choice. If they're not going to help out, some states that you look
after
at
the election,
go, all of a sudden they're reopening. This is a concern. I think you're seeing that both sides. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to take calls coming up in the next segment. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Stay with us. This is when we answer what you want to know. Right here on the show. Be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
By the way, the impeachment trial, which it really kind of isn't because Chief Justice isn't sitting. President Trump is no longer in office. It says impeach and remove, which you can't do here. And then it talks about what the penalties are in addition to that, which would be barring from for life from running for office. We think it's unconstitutional. And we think it should go no further than that, actually, the position that we're taking. I hope to have available for you in the next couple of days, we'll do a short version of it, but we have a rather lengthy position paper we probably are going to share with the Senate on what we think, just what we think the Constitution says and what the founders meant. And there's not a lot of precedent here, but one of the issues we get into is the unconstitutionality of this kind of proceeding. We have a petition up about that because when we submit our brief to Congress and let them know what our thoughts are, we want to let them know how many people we're speaking on behalf of. And my understanding is right now we have 197,000. We're hoping to get to 250,000, which is there's a lot more to go, 50,000 more to go by the start of the impeachment trial next week.
We can say this. There's thousands of you watching right now. I mean, tens of thousands of you, millions of you listening. But even those who we know are online, you're already online. There's, you know, 7,000 watching on Facebook, another 3,000 on YouTube. I'm sure a couple thousand over on Twitter. There's a lot of you watching right now. So if you go to ACLJ.org or just look, there is a pinned post on Facebook. If you're on YouTube, just go to ACLJ.org, maybe a pinned post there as well. And you can sign that petition. We can get it over 200,000 probably before the show is over. If you did this, there's only 7 minutes. Go do that. You have 7 minutes to do it. ACLJ.org. Let's take some phone calls. Okay. We have a lot of calls coming in. Ron in Missouri, line four. Ron, you're on the air.
Hey, Ron.
Happy Monday, gentlemen.
Yep.
I told your screener my name was Ron. My name's really Sean Huff. I don't need to lie about it.
All right, hold on, Ron. Pause. Put him back on hold. I don't know why we need to know that. But Sean, Ron, you gave me a bad feeling. So, Ron, stay on hold. We'll get back to you. Let's go to Ross, who's coming in West Virginia, line three. Ross, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. You guys, well, I was really upset. I was on the edge of my, jumping off the cliff here, and then you guys kind of talked me down. We believe the same thing, but my biggest issues are about the $350 billion that's going to these states. The states don't, they, like you said before, their stuff, that stuff happened long before. They need to, if you want to put somebody to work, they can pay that back through taxes or whatever. You know, you don't have, they don't have to, that's giving a prize to somebody that doesn't deserve it.
He's in West Virginia.
Yeah, well, listen, you're in West Virginia, and I think Joe Manchin, that's what he's saying. And, you know, I know West Virginia's been hit hard like other places, but, you know, you don't want your taxpayers' dollars, Ross, paying for California's mistakes, and California businesses need relief, and that's not apparently not much in the plan either, Andy. And this is where it's just this. This is why we are going to call it straight and push to get the right result here, which is direct aid to the American people and to continue. And yes, I'm going to say this, and I know it's going to be politically incorrect. Prop up small business. They're saying, well, if you're propping up small business, why would you not prop up the state? Because I'm propping up a small business that employs a lot of people that the problem they have is directly related to the coronavirus, the pandemic.
That's right.
The state has that problem before. Go ahead, Andy.
Well, the reality is, as you've said, the backbone of the United States and of most countries are small businesses that are now seriously and desperately struggling to exist and to have their employees being able to live, literally live from paycheck to paycheck, if they even get a paycheck. Why are we not focusing? Why is this administration not focusing on getting the money to those individual human beings who are suffering out there, who are making very small wages, who are making, in some cases, have lost their jobs? Instead of focusing on giving money to bail out large states who have acted recklessly in the past. That's wrong, Jay, and it should not be the focus of the government bailouts. It's wrong. It should go to individual human beings.
Look, it did just come up in the press briefing. Is it the most fun soundbite? Not really. This, we're gone on the days of your Spicers and your Sanders and your McEnany's. So these are a little more stale, if you will. But I think you should hear what they have to say. This is about the size of the proposed GOP bill. So you'll hear the question followed by the answer by Jen Psaki.
You said in your statement that the scale of what must be done is large. Let's bottom line it. Mm-hmm. Is $618 billion considered large by the White House?
Well, I think our statement last night made clear that the president believes that the risk is not being too going too small, but going not big enough. That his view is that the size of the package needs to be commensurate with the crises we're facing. That's why he proposed $1.9 trillion.
There's a big difference between $618 billion and $1.9 trillion.
She's just not answering these questions.
They're not answering these questions because they're not, they don't, well, part of it is they don't know the answer.
Yeah.
Part of it is they are sending their own officers, including the Vice President of the United States, to Democratic-controlled states or Democratic senators to go after the Democratic-controlled senators. So here's what you want to know. How do we get this done? So let me go to Fan quickly, then we're going to take another call. Fan, these people, we're getting a lot of phone calls, and a lot of people have watched today and listened today. We need to give them a time frame on relief. How do we get this push forward so the American people get these checks and these businesses get this relief?
Quickest way to put it forward is for the 10 Republicans tonight and Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema to say to the Biden administration, take that $350 billion to use as much of it as you have to bring the direct payments to the American people up to the number that you proposed, and all of us will vote for it.
Okay.
If the Biden administration would do that, it could happen next week.
Here's my question on this, Than, and this is, I want to ask you this. So it's a timing thing. And next week we go into the impeachment trial, so that week is probably shot completely. So I think that week's probably out of the box for most work. So we really have this week, or we're talking 2 more weeks from now.
At a bare minimum, Jay, and I don't want to be, because here's why. If you don't come to an agreement like the one we just talked about, you have to first go through budget reconciliation. You have to first pass an entire budget and then go back through that process again. So look, it needs to be this week. And if it's not this week, then you have impeachment. And then after that, Jay, it still needs to be bipartisan. Otherwise, I hate to say it, you're talking more weeks down the road.
Yep.
All right, let's jump to the last call of the day. Bob in Georgia, line 6. Bob, you're on the air. Gloria, thank you for calling. We're just not going to have time to get to you today. Bob, you're on the air.
Afternoon, gentlemen. I'm technically in Georgia, but I'm in the Chattanooga area, so I'm just inside the state line.
Yeah, you
Georgia.
Go in and out continually in that wet stretch of land.
You do.
Ringgold. I gotta throw you off.
Yes, I am, so in the Chattanooga area, the average income is around $35,000, so missing work for 6 months, most people are missing 15,000. So why are they talking about 1,400? I mean,
well, you're entitled to you have unemployment benefits, so those continue. And Fan, there's also an increase in that unemployment insurance.
Yep. In both the plans, there would be an increase in the federal size. Yeah, but look, here's what I would say to Bob. He's exactly correct that this might not be the end of the road. So you need 70 or 80 senators on board because
yes.
another pass at it might be necessary.
Unfortunately, probably necessary. So here's what we're going to do, the American Center for Law and Justice. We have lawyers and government affairs staff like Than that understand the economics. We have law and economics professors here. We're going to work to get and move Congress to get this moving. But next week we move into an impeachment, which is ridiculous of a president that's not serving in office. To stop the work of the American people. That's how absurd all of this is. We're going to stay on these issues. We're going to stay engaged. And we want you to support the work of the ACLJ. And you can do that by going to ACLJ.org.
Yes, ACLJ.org. Check out all that we're doing there. Follow us on all social medias. Check out the Logan Sekulow Reprogram. That's my show. It's on YouTube as well as other podcast platforms.
And also, about once a week.
Yeah, no, we do a lot of shows, a lot of content. Find it there. We'll see you.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.